Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. What's good, everybody? It's our favorite time of the year here at the Black Effect. We're headed down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Mike Epps and Chris Tucker never been on a movie together.
Never.
So you never seen those energies, that same type of energy on one thing.
That's deep.
And so what I noticed about the comments when people see me and Fly together, they think it's hella funny, right? Because of the energies. And I'm like, damn, that's like if Chris Tucker and Mike Epps damn near did a movie. Like, it was in a movie together.
They needed a couple scenes.
Right? A couple scenes. That should have been hella funny. That should have been hella funny. I'm like, nigga, we didn't need to do this. These niggas letting us get older. I seen that interview. That nigga said, we can't even do it no more. Nigga, we getting older. I felt the same shit. Nigga, I ain't finna play no nigga's son, nigga. I'm a grown ass man.
Like, well, I told Greek cousins, if we do a like father, like son tour, that motherfucker go.
That shit'll go crazy. That shit'll go crazy. That'd be crazy.
J-O-N, play me some pimping, man. We don't. We do not have time to fuck around today.
Oh, look at him, champ.
Put the fly, put it
on. We are not playing today. We getting straight down to biz. DC, we getting straight to it. We got a certified ass whooper in here with us today.
West.
A real ass whooper.
Brownville, bro.
Never ran, never will.
That's right.
You taking it on.
Let's go,
Chad. We're just going to let the energy just reset.
Nah, nah. When nigga got chain gang energy in the free world,
oh, man.
That's a whole nother. When you took that nigga food.
That was a whole different
and
level.
Ate it.
Oh, man.
And you, I'm talking about literally like, oh, this is my food. Matter of fact, this is my fault.
Nah.
I said, whoa.
I was like,
that's a real gangster.
This nigga Shannon Briggs had to be putting ecstasy pills in them smoothies. That nigga was tripping. But this nigga ain't got no shirt on. This nigga got his boxes. This nigga got the swim trunks on, no draws. Let's go, Chad.
Let's go, Jeff.
Oh, this nigga was chasing Ukrainians around. The world, nigga. They just looking at his ass. They don't even understand what he's saying. Let's go, champ. They like,
black
boy. Black
guy, what's wrong?
With what's wrong? Set from the father. Yeah, fuck all that. Let's go, champ. I'm like, man, this nigga is ready to fight. We knocked that nigga off that boat, man. I said, bro, how was you finding this nigga, man?
Oh, man, you know, he was living in my neighborhood at the time. I had a spot at Hollywood Beach. And I was like, I was on Virginia Street. He was like 8 blocks away. So people would always say, yo, I just seen Klitschko. And one time I just missed him in a supermarket. Mm-hmm. So it was a girl who worked in his building. She was like, he'd be out there every day on the wakeboard or whatever. I was like, word? So I went out there like once or twice, he wasn't out there.
Right.
And then the third day, we went out there, we seen him. So we went and got on my man boat and came back. But then we thought he disappeared.
Right.
And I was like, nah, wait, look. I see him. They was like, nah, we going back. We had been there for an hour. And then he seen him, he was a little speck. He was getting closer and closer. And then, but you know, I got a little, not even getting in trouble, but the cops called me and was like, yo,
right.
You know, he could have died and we might be pressing charges on you. I had a lot of, you know, stuff going on over that shit.
That nigga was on the phone. Fuck it, let's go, champ. If he dies, he dies.
Oh,
fuck
shit.
Champ.
Nah, we wouldn't kill nobody else.
Nah, but check this out, though. Like, even if I had never seen none of your fights, I would have been a fan just by the amount of shit that you talk.
All right.
It's a certain place in my heart for people who talk shit. That's why I fuck with social media so hard. I don't never have to meet these people, but I know if it's people getting up every day, taking the chance of talking the most shit,
right.
I feel like that's my tribe.
Right. So where the slogan came from, I duh, you're a champion.
Hold up, we didn't even do this right.
We got to then.
Welcome back to the 85 South Show. Welcome back.
Let's go, champ. Let's go, champ.
Let's go, champ.
We're bringing out the champ and everybody today. I know that you and DC are such boxing fans. Yeah. I'm going to split this intro up.
Let's go, champ.
I'm going to split it up because this is definitely one of the legends.
What? Oh, man.
Of boxing.
Sean, thank you, champ.
And it's like,
that.
You know, we talk about classic matches and shit like that. We watch them on the road when we're in the hotel and shit like that. And we definitely watch all your clips. And, you know, we fans and we fuck with the energy thank that you bring to the end, to the game. And we just, we're ecstatic to have you here and travel with us. None other than Shannon the Cannon Briggs.
Let's go, champ. Oh, man, thank you, champ. Thanks for having me. I appreciate y'all for real.
I got a direct quote.
I finally made it, man. Yeah, I finally made it, Bob. Look at me now, y'all.
Nah, you been made it. Look, man, we got a direct quote from Lennox Lewis that said you had the fastest hands and the best punching power of anybody he ever fought.
Sheesh. That's saying something. He fought Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, I was all right, man. I was all right, you know. I did
That's
my
humbleness.
Thing. Yeah, I was all right. I did my thing, you know. I did the best I could under my circumstances. Yeah. I was born with asthma. You know, I ain't had no brothers and sisters growing up. I was the only child. They picked on me, you know me. I was bullied. And then I got sick of it one day, and I was like, I'm going to fight back, you know. And I started fighting back. And then I literally, like, almost fell in love with with the art of fighting. You know what I mean? I would go ask people how to slap box and do everything. And then I was homeless at the age of 14. And then I stumbled across a boxing gym like 16, 17.
What city?
Brownsville, Brooklyn. Brooklyn. I'm from Brownsville, which is in Brooklyn.
Damn, Brooklyn.
It's his own city.
It's his own city.
It's his own town.
You know what's going on.
Yeah. So I'm from the Ville, and you know, that was a big part of my, you know, beginning growing up there. Cause you know, you had to be able to fight there, you know. Before the guns came out, you had to be able to, you know, get busy. So, you know, I picked that up early, learning how to fight.
But you grew up in the time where Brownsville was super live and
it
was all crazy. Type of hip hop going on. The fashion was crazy. The ladies M-O-P. Was gorgeous. Right. The drug dealers really was multi-millionaire type shit.
They was doing anything.
New York was at the prime.
It was crazy. But, you know, it was the 70s. First it was the 70s. Mm-hmm. And then that was like dog times, you know what I mean, in Brooklyn. And then the 80s came and, you know, it was rough in the beginning, the early 80s, and then, you know, crack cocaine came. And then that's when young people started getting money. It was the first time in history that young kids, I'm talking about 13, 14 years old, was having $1,000, $2,000 in their pocket in the history of the United States, of the planet.
Right.
Young black men having enough money to go buy cars and stuff like that. So it changed the community, you know what I'm saying? I look back on those 80s and I don't feel good about them because a lot of my family, my mom had an addiction. A lot of people in my family was on crack, you know what I'm saying, and drugs. So, you know, it was a rough time. Then, like I said, the mid-80s came. My mom was on drugs bad. You know, people was like, yo, you want to hustle? And I was like, you know, I don't count too good to be hustling. Y'all might want to kill me later for the money. And I was fortunate to find boxing. You know what I mean? I got into that and it saved my life, man. I was homeless, like I said. And, you know, that was the way out for me. I made it. I was fortunate to get on the USA team. I was the US 1992 champion. Mm-hmm. And that led me to the Olympic trials. Unfortunately, I broke my hand. Mm. You can see that.
God damn, champ.
Let me see.
God damn, champ.
Got a butt cheek on his fist. God damn.
Look at his face. You broke that when you was 14?
Yeah. But you went professional with this same damn hand.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I broke both of them. If you look at that.
Oh, shit. So this is a big ass broke hands.
I was gunning, man. Actually, I had asthma, so like, you know what I mean? I couldn't
get
breathe.
It on quick.
So I had to get my shit off quick.
You know what I'm saying?
Had to get my shit off quick, you know what I mean?
Man, that's so crazy, because, you know, growing up, where I grew up in the city of D.C., like, boxing was, like, it was kind of like a rite of passage.
My partner.
Yeah. Shit, for real?
You know what it's like, then. Yeah. Come on, yeah. Champ. Come on. I'm the first asthmatic heavyweight champion in the world.
What you talking about, nigga?
Yeah, heavyweight champion, asthmatic.
So, you know, it was like a rite of passage. Like, you had to know how to fight in some capacity. But it was just so many people that understood the art of boxing that it kind of came with the neighborhood a little bit. Some people kind of retracted from it and ran away from it.
Right.
But it was something I always loved. So, I know that for me, it always used to give me a release from whatever was going on, you know what I mean? A legal release, if you will, that I can go and just get the aggression off. And you know what I mean? If it was a problem, they had put the gloves on, that type of thing. So, like, being as though you grew up the way that you did, at what point did you realize that really boxing was the thing for you to do professionally, not just in the neighborhood like we all might do, but going pro is something different?
I mean, you know, to be honest with you, champ, I didn't have many options. You know, I really tried, though. I mean, I had literally been working. I started working when I was 8 years old, you know what I'm saying? I was packing bags at the supermarket, and then I was selling newspapers. I had caught a newspaper route. That was a whole nother story. It was somebody else's route, but I had caught a newspaper route. And then, you know, I was doing different things, odds and ends. I was always working, you know what I mean? I worked in an ice cream parlor. You know, and then, you know, we started getting older, and then crack cocaine came out, like I said, the mid-80s, and everybody was driving fly cars and Dookie rope chains and fresh Adidas, and I was like, you know what I mean, I wanted that too, but, you know, hustling wasn't for me because, like I said, I had family members on drugs. I didn't feel good selling drugs and watching what it did to, you know, to my people, and literally, it really took out, like, three, four generations of black people. I seen grandmothers get on crack, the daughter, the granddaughter, the sons, and then like that whole family bloodline die because from drugs, you know what I'm saying? So for me, you know, that wasn't my thing. And, you know, after, you know, 335 was what they was paying back then for hour, you know what I mean? Damn. So I wasn't really doing it. I tried to get jobs and all that, but boxing was the best route. You know, I would go to the gym, and I remember my coach would be like, yo, I'll give you $5 if you spar somebody. And with $5, I could get like 4 chicken wings and fries, you know what I'm saying, soda, you know what I mean? So I'd be like, all right, come on. I'd spar a few people, get like $5, $10. And I was like, you know what? This is the only thing paying me, you know what I mean? Jobs was coming and going, you know what I mean? So I got back into that. And I got locked up one time, too. I got in some trouble just trying to be, you know, doing something I shouldn't have been doing. And like I said, you know what? I think the best thing for me was that I was never good at crime. You know what I mean? I think that was the best thing for me. I learned early that, you know, I would get in trouble and I'd be like, damn, you know what? This getting locked up shit ain't for me, you know what I mean? So, and then my pops died in jail. My mom's died of overdose on my birthday. Damn. So all these things was putting me in a place where I was like, damn, I'm gonna end up just like them if I don't do something different. So I went to the gym. And then I was nice too. I had hands, you know what I mean? Yeah. I had good hand skills, you know what I mean? I could see punches coming and move, you know what I mean?
You remember your first professional fight?
Yeah. Yeah, I fought John Jackson, July 24th, 1992. That's something they should never forget.
What date that is?
July 24th, 1992.
It's crazy. I was 2 months old.
Come on, man.
Yeah, for real. You're a legend, man.
Thank you,
Jack. Great, man.
I was in the ring. July 24th, 1992. It was crazy because, like, you know, I was in the streets. I was kind of moving around doing silly stuff. And then I was like, damn, you know, I had friends that was hustling. They was getting knocked. Some of them was going to get locked up. Some of them wasn't. Some was having minor success. You know, we thought back in the days, if you had, you know, $20,000, you was filthy, filthy rich, you know what I'm saying? But that wasn't the case, you know what I mean? Especially the time that brothers was getting. I know people that's, you know, some coming home now from the 80s, you know what I mean? But I say all I have to say, you know, boxing for me was just, it was a life-changing experience that, you know, it gave me more than just a living. It saved my life, you know what I mean? Like I said, it taught me how to control myself, you know what I mean? When I was stressed out, I'd go to the gym, and it helped me, you know what I mean? But going back to that July 24th, 1992, I was just recently in the streets, and 20 years old, and my boy, he was like, yo, you fighting in the month, my manager at the time. And, you know, you never really count the days, and then, you know, they was like, yo, come on, we're going to fight. I was like, damn, what?
She came already?
I was like, for real?
So you trained for real?
I trained. I was training with Teddy Ellis at the time. He was my first coach. We had trained, but...
That's wild dude.
Yeah. That's
you ever met him?
No, I ain't never met him, but
I've met Teddy Atlas a few times.
He's my first trainer.
Yeah. He love a good dirty joke, don't he?
Oh, bro, there you go.
He would tell you, he got a million of them.
Oh, man. Yeah, good guy. Solid guy. He taught me a lot. Yeah. He was my first professional trainer. And, you know, like I said, I turned pro that night. I mean, literally that night, I was in the ring, and I was like, damn. The bell's about to ring. I'm like, what am I doing here? Right. I'm like, I'm shitting a brick, right. But I'm playing it off. And the bell rang, and I swear to God, yo, champ, he cracked me. The first punch of the fight. Anybody at home, Google that fight, Shannon Briggs pro debut, and yo, dude cracked me. Bow! You can hear it. And the whole gym was quiet. I mean, the whole arena was quiet. You heard, bow! It sounded like a gunshot. Right. Cracked me. And I took it. And I was looking at him like, damn, he knocked the shit out of me. Hey, Satan, I'm playing it off. And I got my composure, and I got him out of there. But it was welcome to the pros, you know what
right.
I mean?
You knocked him out? You ain't seen it coming?
You know what? I guess he threw an overhand right. He did that shit smooth. Because he was rushing with his head.
Right.
So he did the
face. Attention to the head, and he didn't see the hand.
And caught the shit out. He caught the blah. And I was like, damn. But I stopped him in the first round. Then I had like... I want to say 9 first-round knockouts after that. Well, I do want to say, not to, you know, give myself a blowjob, but I got the most first-round knockouts.
You do?
Heavyweight champ, 37.
37.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah. I had to say that, you know what I'm saying?
We salute but, shit like
yeah,
that.
Thank you, champ. You know what I'm saying? I had to pat myself on the back. I got the most first-round knockouts in heavyweight champion history, more than any other heavyweight champion.
But wow. See, that's what I want to ask you about. Like, you know, the boxing divisions, is, you know, everybody, if you're a boxing fan, you appreciate, you know, all divisions, but it ain't nothing
pause
like
that, by the way. Yeah, but
if you're
I'm sorry,
What I say?
You know,
no,
New York.
I said something earlier.
Oh, right.
No,
yeah,
my bad.
You
said blowjob. Yeah,
yeah. I said myself. Yeah. I said get myself. I said get myself.
Damn, I'm traumatized.
I'm looking at your piss. I said I'm gonna just let that slide.
See what I'm doing?
Nah. Nah.
I'm sitting over here traumatized like, damn, what I just say? Divisions? You can't say divisions no more?
My bad, champ. My bad, champ.
But it's nothing like the heavyweight division, man, in boxing, because that's the big money division.
Thanks.
Like, so what, and from your opinion, being a former champion and being a, you know, somebody that boxed in the 90s all the way through, what happened to the heavyweights, man?
Oh, shit.
Real heavyweights, man.
I mean, I don't think nothing happened. I think what happened was in the 80s.
The American heavyweight, I'll say.
Again, I think what happened in the 80s was we had Mike Tyson. And Mike Tyson changed the history of the world. You know, he was a young, short, stocky street dude. You know what I mean? No socks, no shorts, no roll, knocking people out. He was from Brownsville, from the streets. You know what I'm saying? The gutter. We the gutter. Like, you talk about Brownsville, you talk about the gutter. You know what I mean? So... He changed history, and he made every young person who was who couldn't make it in football, or he wanted to be a boxer, wanted to be a heavyweight, wanted to be like Mike Tyson, even me, you know what I'm saying? I didn't want to be like Mike Tyson, oddly enough. I wanted to be like Ali, and I was saying, I'm gonna be able to beat Tyson with this style, with my Ali style, because naturally I was a boxer. But here, this man was the greatest heavyweight of all times, and I was an amateur kid looking at him like, but he was inspiring me. Even the thought of one day possibly fighting him or what I would do, he inspired me to even, you know, get into it, really, to be honest with you. Because I was watching him in, like, 86, and I ain't really get into the boxing until 88.
So you think that that's the reason why the heavyweight division, and we haven't seen another prominent heavyweight champion in America? Because even with the Klitschko's and the Furies and, we had Deontay Wilder, but that's the closest we done got in since... your era in that early 90s, we'd have had a dominant black heavyweight champion. So is it fact that people don't, is it the training? Is it
the heavyweight running the game?
Is it the lack of training or is it the lack of talent from your opinion?
I think that, you know, a lot of big men don't want to, a lot of big men rather play basketball or they rather play football. Then get hit for a living, you know what I'm saying? It's a hard job, man, getting punched in the face, champ. It ain't easy, you know what I'm saying? I'm keeping it real.
Oh, I know.
Not just the face, the body.
Right.
That's the real shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
nigga
worse.
Hit me in the stomach, it's over.
Right. Right.
Nigga, you know what I'm saying? It's worse.
So it takes a lot, and the dedication it takes to make it in boxing, and the truth of the matter is, it's rare that you're gonna make it, bro. I'm gonna keep it real with you. Like, it's really like a lotto, because you gotta be able to fight, you gotta be able to have a good manager. And you can be the best fighter in the world if nobody know about you. You got to be able to be promotable. You get what I'm saying? You got to be able to be sellable where the people want to see you. You know what I mean?
Marketable.
So take us back. Excuse me.
Sellable cool, but marketable was the more respectful word.
Take us back to the night when you won your title. I want to know, like, the preparation.
First one.
Okay. That's always the best one.
It's always the best.
Yes, brother.
Well, is it?
But you got
in your case, is it?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, champ, I won my first, I want to say, amateur title in 1990.
So what's the difference? I don't know the terminology. I feel like once a nigga get a belt, you got to respect that shit.
You're amateur before you turn pro.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was amateur, and I had won the Empire State Games. And that shit to me was like one of the biggest feelings of my life, champ, to that point. You know, I was 18 years old. You know, I never had no success in life, really, other than, you know, no success. I didn't do good in school. You know what I mean? I was having a rough life, homeless, you know, on and off. And then I won that title and it was like, damn, I felt like I did something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I could be more than just a prisoner. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I can do something with my life and shit. So, and that's what I'm about, man. Like, you know, I tell people I'm traumatized from my childhood because it was so beautiful. I had a beautiful mother. I had a beautiful house, home, and then I lost everything. And I was homeless, sleeping in the exit of a building that I would find, sleeping in cars, you know what I'm saying? Sleeping at friends' house, you know, a couch baby, living from place to place, you know what I mean? Then it traumatized me enough to become successful. And I said, one day I'm gonna be able to help, you know, kids like myself. You know, and I'm doing that now. We started Brownsville Boxing Academy. We just purchased a building in Brownsville and we're gonna open up a gym. You know what I mean? Let's go, man. Thank you.
Hey everyone, I am so excited. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with a Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with a Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You won't want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill of your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast festival for more details.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Opportunity is not equally distributed. To every Black entrepreneur listening, I want to make sure you have the tools and resources you need to grab your next opportunity. That's why I'm telling you about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million Black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the Black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have Black ownership. This program gives Black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 Black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million Black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being Black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black businesses initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive 120-day free trial at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Man.
You know, Bills, what's up, man? Like, do you feel now, you know, being as though you, you know, completed your career as a boxer, like, do you feel that your experience as a boxer is more, you know, effective in you helping the kids, or is it that, you know, all of the shit that you went through as a child? Because you've gained success as a boxer. You made it and you became a champion. So you have the success story. Mm-hmm. Do you lead with that, or do you lead with the trauma to motivate the kids more?
Well, first of all, I ain't finished fighting. First and foremost.
For real?
Yeah, I'm serious. I'm 51,000 years old, right? But you look at like Mike Tyson, he did the fight with Roy Jones a few years ago. If you look at a lot of champions, they fight much, you know. First of all, I'm not beat up. You know what I mean? I've never been really beat. I had really, to be honest with you, out of my 60-something fights, I might have had like five, maybe four wars. Where you say, damn, that was a tough fight. I had some wars, you know what I'm saying? But
I want to get into war. I want to get into them next, but keep going.
Okay, I had some wars, but I'm fresh, man. I feel good. I just can't get no fights, man. They scared.
They scared of you.
Yeah, they scared.
I feel like they been scared of you.
Yeah, they scared.
What about Rampage? I thought
y'all
doing
something. It's on like popcorn. January 27th, Hard Rock Casino. Yeah.
Oh, so y'all, January what?
January 27th. I want y'all as my guests. Yeah, I need to commentate, for real, for real. I need y'all to commentate. Y'all to be live.
I mean,
clear that off, man.
Vegas.
In Florida.
In Florida.
Yeah, Hollywood Casino, man.
January 27th.
January 27th. Say less.
I'm going to tell you right now.
Yeah.
It's going down?
100%.
It's a for show.
Yes, champ, yes.
Okay, I got a show, but I'm moving it.
Nah.
Nigga, I'm moving my shit.
Say word.
I'm coming.
You gonna commentate?
Yeah.
Let's go, champ.
I hope he done be like, yeah.
Let's go, champ.
Y'all heard it.
Hey, Mark Julian, all my investors out there, y'all gotta pay this man.
I'm coming.
Yo, let's go, champ.
Now, just like Fly was saying, though, let's get into some of the wars.
I wanna hear. Okay. Let's keep the war state because this is good. I want to hear the one where you thought this motherfucker gonna give me the business.
Yeah.
Spanked him. Mm. Versus I'm finna go ahead and get him the business. Oh, this motherfucker studied me.
Mm. One more time, okay.
The first motherfucker.
Yeah. The first motherfucker.
The first motherfucker who you thought was gonna give you the business,
right,
but you spanked him. Who was that?
Damn. Michael Hospital. Wow. Empire State Games.
Wow.
He was touching everything. I mean, everything. Everything he hit was sleep. Big white boy, 6'5", 6'6".
Always be the white boy.
Ooh, big white boy. Woo, hitting hard. Everything he touched, I mean, he was sleeping it.
Damn.
You know what I mean? My coach didn't even want me to fight him.
Was this headgear or no headgear?
Headgear. He was knocking everything out cold with a headgear. He was a cop. New York City cop. Michael Hospital. I was scared.
Damn.
Yeah, he was a grown man. I was a kid.
Oh, so you was a child fighting a grown man.
Yeah, but to beat him was the next level where you, like, now you did your thing in New York, because he was the New York City Golden Glove champion. Mm. You know, he was Empire State Game champion. Here, I was coming on the scene, and I was young, flashy. I had blonde dreadlocks. As you can see, they gone.
Damn, your dreadlocks got cut off too.
Shit, I grew some of mine back.
They got me, champ.
I thought I was the only one loving my dreads.
They got us, champ. Nah, yeah, I did them dirty. Yeah, I did them dirty. But it was a good fight. And then you know what? I had some tough ones, man. So
you thought it was gonna be a piece of cake, but nah,
you
went. I had to go pound for pound, round for round.
Franz Botha.
Ooh.
Franz Botha, the South
Africa. Both.
The South Africa.
South Africa.
Yes, sir. That name is serious.
Tell him what.
Hey, one day I was in a gym, right?
Right.
And I heard Evander Holyfield talking. He was talking to a reporter. They was like, who hit you the hardest in your life, Evander? And he said, Franz Botha. And I overheard it. I said, what you say? I said, what you say?
Right.
He said, Francois Botha. I said, champ, me too. I said, I swear to God, champ, I couldn't believe it. I ain't gonna lie. I went to jab And I jabbed, because I was catching him with the jab.
Right.
I said, this jab, I'm going to put some mustard on this. I'm going to break his nose with this one.
Slip.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going to break his, because you be jabbing to keep him at bay. I said, but this one here, I'm going to step in, I'm going to break his nose. And I went to jab him, and I don't know how he timed it and moved to the...
Slipped it.
He slipped it, but he when he slipped it, he did some caveman shit. He don't learn this. He did some caveman shit, like turning away, and broke my ribs.
Oh.
Wow. Rib broke. I said, God damn, I knew something was wrong. But I'm looking at him the whole time like, don't show it. You know, I'm looking at... Really, I'm like... but I'm looking at him like... I'm looking at him like this. But inside, I'm like, please don't hit me, Mr. Please don't hit me, Mr.
Smoking like a snake.
Coming from the jail. Please, Mr. Don't hit me inside.
That's
because if I would have showed him, he would have turned into a lion. From a kitten to a lion.
Because now he know, I got him.
Yeah, I was sparring Bruce Seldon one time, former heavyweight champion. Man. He was jabbing me so hard and fast. He was opening his hand like this, and he was. And he, what does that mean?
That was pause. He was jabbing you so hard and fast.
Come on, champ. Come on, champ. Hey, yo, Cam.
He was jabbing me so hard.
Hey, yo, Cam. You did this. Hey, yo, Cam.
Chill.
I'm too old for that. I think at a certain age, you out of the game, right? You don't gotta be.
Yeah,
know what I mean. My bad. Yeah, I did, my bad. Cameron Giles, your fault. Hey, yo, champ. So he was
opening up.
All right, yeah, so I forgot. The jab, man, bow. So, man. Y'all took me away from it. No.
He said he opened it.
I was sparring Bruce Seldon. Yo, Bruce Seldon was opening his hand like this and backhanding me with the jab. And it was going slap, slap, slap. Like, you know, I can take a towel when you pop it. Mm-hmm. Every time it was hitting me. Wow, 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 wow. I said, God. I never seen no shit like this. Right. I came back to the corner, Teddy Allen said, if you don't fight him, he gonna turn into a monster. You're gonna let the little kitty cat turn into a lion if you don't fight back. I was like, he says no way out of this. You gotta fight back. That's the only way he gonna stop. So the second round, I bit down, I started going crazy. We started getting it, we banging out. He came back to the corner, because Teddy said, you did good, stay like that. He gonna quit. I said, this is Bruce Seldon, man. This heavyweight champion in the world. You smoking or something? He said, do that again. I'm telling you, if you don't, he gonna go crazy on you. Mm-hmm. Went back in there. Iron, we banging out, bam. He said, yo, that's it. He said, that's it. That's what Bruce said. I'm no disrespect, but you know, he came back.
Okay.
Yeah, but I learned. If you let anybody, you feel what I'm saying?
Right.
Get up, see weakness, see you hurt, and I say that to say like when.
No!
Let's go, champ!
That's when that shit hit for real.
Let's go, champ! Yeah!
That nigga story is getting so real, nigga. The lights cut off. I'm gonna leave. This nigga crazy.
That nigga Bruce Seldon heard that nigga. Shit in the candy.
Let's go, champ!
That's the first time.
That nigga scared the lights. Yeah.
God damn.
Let's go, champ!
Show any sign of weakness.
If you show any sign of weakness, when a man and you hurt and he hurt too, he feel the same way you feel. But if you show it, he going all of a sudden
he gonna grow.
He gonna get stronger. He was dead tired.
Right.
He ready to go. You ready to go? He hit you. He see you hurt. He ain't tired no more. Right. He get a boost of energy. Yeah. So I learned early. He was right about that. When you gotta push him all the way downhill.
Right.
Cause if motherfuckers start pushing back up and he get you going downhill. No, push him all the way downhill. So. You know, that was my career, banging out, pushing them downhill, doing the best I could.
So, going back to that corner, because now I'm like, oh, shit, we get corner stories.
Yeah.
I want to hear one of them corner stories that, it shook you and you had to bounce right. Like, that corner story stuck with me.
Man, I was fighting, man, rest in peace. Puerto Rican brother, man, Santiago. He was from the Bronx, but he was living in Colorado Springs. Mm-hmm. I was the underdog.
I was underdog to go to the Olympics. They had kicked me off the USA team. You know, I had lost the year before, but they wasn't feeling me because I had dreads. Mm-hmm. And they ain't really want me representing America like that in 1992 with dreads, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So they was like, yo, if you don't cut your hair, you ain't gonna make the team. And I was like, I ain't cutting my hair. I'm a rebel. I'm a young boy. I'm like, no, I ain't cutting my hair. Fuck all that. So they was like, all right, cool. We gonna show you. So they was doing everything to, you know, push me, keep me down. And I hustled, kept fighting, kept doing my thing. And I got to the championships. And a brother, Puerto Rican brother named Santiago, man, he believed in me. And I needed that shit because I was out there on the women of prayer. And he said, he told me before the fight, he was like, look, because they gave him a team of the people they didn't want to win. Mm-hmm. So I was on his team, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So they was like, yeah, he was like, look, they put you on my team because they don't want you to win. He said, man, I'm from New York, you from New York, you go out there, you win this shit. So his hype got me, but now we in the finals. I'm fighting Javier Alvarez. Mm-hmm. He got 400-500 fights, DC. I'm fighting him for the second time. He getting at me, we going at it. I sat back in the corner, and he said, yo, I never forget this shit. I'm 51 years old, that was in 1992, he said, yo, I was like this. I'm about to tell him, stop the fight, I can't breathe. I'm like, yo, that's it. We in Colorado, you know, they got the altitude. Right, you feel me? Different. That shit got me. I'm like, yo, stop the fight. I can't breathe, I have an asthma attack. Right. He like, yo, this is the heavyweight division. You the man in the heavyweight division. He said, go out there right now and prove to them you the man. And I remember that his words, and he died, rest in peace, I heard about a year or two ago. Mm-hmm. But I can remember vaguely enough him sitting here right in front of me in the corner and him saying, yo, look, you the man. Go out there and show these you the man. And I went out there and I won that shit. Mm-hmm. And it touched me because it was the first time, major championship, somebody believed in me, pushed me through that shit, you know what I mean?
That's real. That go crazy.
Rest in peace. Coach Santiago, man.
Speaking of what you just spoke about, being in the corner, like, like, what would you say is your most intense training? What fight did you have to train the hardest for? Because, you know, the training is really what makes the fighter to me. Like, that's the part that most people can't dedicate themselves to, is that training, nigga. You can't fuck, you can't eat the skin off chicken. Like, it's a
you know what I mean? Fuck.
And I don't understand about making weight. You make weight, and then you can gain as much weight.
I
wouldn't been able to train.
But not me. I'm a heavyweight, so I can weigh whatever.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, what would you say was your most intense training session for a fight that
George
you had?
George Foreman.
Take us back. Yeah, we need to know.
George Foreman.
Like you said that dude hit hard as fuck. What about them George Foreman punches?
Shit. Yeah, them shits was bad. Nightmares. I couldn't sleep for 2 weeks after the Foreman fight. 2 weeks, I was fucked up, y'all. Excuse my language. I was messed up for 2 weeks after that fight. That boy hit hard. That man hit hard, excuse me. I'm still scared. That man hit hard. That man hit hard, y'all. I ain't gonna lie to y'all, champ. You know, your pain in your life is what really going. When you in a moment where you hurting physically, you can numb yourself out. If you got a bigger hurt in your life, I had always had hurt in my life. My mom's was on crack, heroin. My pops was in jail. I'm in the streets. I always had hurt. So my hurt was my fuel. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? When I fought Foreman, my mom's died. I'm 25 years old. My mom died on my birthday. You know what I'm saying? December 4th, I wake up, I call, you know, my mom's dead. So those pains have always been my drive. You know, it's like, you know, I was fighting Foreman first round. Bell rang, right? I'm hitting it with a jab. Bam, bam, bam. I said, damn, I worked for that fight. So I had a thing where I would hook off the jab, 1-3. And I did it perfect, y'all. I jabbed, I said, I'm gonna catch his ass. I caught him, bah, with a hook. My hardest hook I ever do. My knuckle, look at the knuckle. Uh-huh. I knew it, I seen it. It went right in his eye. The knuckle, everything. Bah! I said, I got his ass. He ain't even blink.
Oh!
He was just looking at me, he ain't even blink. My hardest punch I ever threw hit him right in the eye. Got you. Bang! He said.
Ooh. That will fuck a nigga up. That will fuck me up. Ooh.
Well, what the fuck we gonna do now?
Yeah. He ain't even blink.
He ain't even blink.
He's looking at me like this.
Yeah. And at that moment, you knew he took all your confidence.
He said, I sat in the corner. I was looking at you.
I was like, damn. Straight video game.
I was shook. I came back in the corner.
Because I knew it was a perfect punch. I knew. I felt my knuckle go in his eyeball. I got him.
Like, that shit he didn't blink?
Wasn't nothing to me. I'm going to kill you. And he, you know what, I don't know why, but some fighters do that, you know, before fights, they don't shower, like for days.
Right.
What? Yeah, that's an old trick, you know what I'm saying? He do that trick. Because when we got in the clinch, y'all, well, I swear to God, we got in the clinch.
Oh, my God.
He was so big. He was so young. Pause, all that, whatever. I'm 50 years old, y'all, man. Chill out, y'all.
But, man, the story good. Fuck yeah, that man, shit.
I grabbed him in the clinch, and he smelled like a bear.
You smelled a bear before?
Yeah, you go to the zoo, you know how them bears smell like animals?
Right.
I was like, oh, shit. But
is a bear musty? How a bear smell?
He just, like a, he been training.
That nigga smell like an animal.
Nigga don't smell like
you don't get it?
Nigga ain't finna bang. You go fight, don't kill him.
Yo.
You stink.
I was like, damn, but I didn't know what it was, so I came back to the corner first
round. That changes
round.
Everything.
Yeah, it does, yeah. Man.
So what happened when you go into the corner?
You grab a nigga, he smell like garbage. Then he wet.
Yeah.
That shit on your face.
Yo.
Okay, think about that shit right now.
Everything stank.
And yo. You done hit the nigga.
Then he hit the ball.
And then he done blink.
And he ain't fazed by your heart.
So what happened when you went to the corner?
I was sat down. I was like, I'm fucked. What's that woman do now?
So this is the first round.
First round, champ.
Damn.
I was sitting there like, damn. And my coach, you know, he ain't speak that much English. Carlos Arruene, that's my love, that's my heart right there, my boy. He's my coach. He was like, boxing, boxing, box. He ain't speak that much English at the time. I was like, box? This motherfucker ain't keep on stop coming. But I went out there first round. But I say that to say this. My mom's just died. So that numb you was shit. You know, you might think for a second, damn, you know, this motherfucker's stronger. He keep coming, but fuck that. Your mama dead, nigga. Get out there and go to work. You know what I mean? Make it happen, so. That's how I be, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Damn.
So you talked about the hardest punch he hit you with. When did them boy you hit him with? What was the one where you realized, nigga, I'm fighting George, other than the smell, but when did you realize, I'm fighting George Foreman because he hit you with one of them George Foreman punches?
Mm.
What round was it? You remember?
He was hitting hard, champ. I ain't gonna fight. He was hitting hard throughout the fight. He cracked me in the like seventh round. He literally knocked me out. I have to tell you the truth. He hit me with a right hand bomb. And I was on my way out, and he hit me with a left uppercut and woke me up.
Shit.
Word up, that's my word. I ain't gonna front. I tell that story, it's true though. Word up, I was out. I was gone, and he hit me and woke me up. Damn. But again, mama dead, so you got nothing. No pain.
Right.
No pain. Damn. All, I'm gonna get mine back.
Right.
That's all I'm thinking, I'm gonna get mine back. You know what I mean? So it was a tough fight, damn. But you know, I had some tough fights, man. You know, I had some wars. I had a few. I fought Klitschko. I fought him with one arm. I always make that clear. I fought Vitaly Klitschko for 12 rounds with one arm.
Why you say that?
My shit broke in the first round. Look at that.
Oh, shit.
Oh, that's, yeah, they had surgery.
Yeah, that was right after the fight. They had to go through this side, come through this side. I fought him 12 rounds. Stood in the paint, trying to get it, you know what I mean?
That's gangster shit.
One arm, champ, yeah.
You ain't never throwing on a white towel. I don't believe in that shit.
Nah, shit, nah. Hey, you know, don't throw it in. Let me fight you, because, yeah, Rampage, you're going down fast and hard. January 27th, you see up over here laughing and playing, but watch when the bell ring. I'm going to beat the shit out you.
Damn.
I'm going to beat the shit out you. That's my word. You're going to see, word. You're going to see. I'm going to beat the shit out you. You think I'm playing with you. Watch.
So how you feel about, like, MMA fighters and all them coming over to...
He said he believe
yo, this boxing,
beat the shit out of
me. There's MMA boxing, and right. Then there's real boxing. I'm going to teach him a lesson. Now, let me explain something to you. He wanted to fight me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to fight me. He wanted to, you know, do a pro fight.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, yo, I can help you get ready and train. He was like, train me? I'll beat you.
Mm.
I was like, what? I was like, nah, champ, chill. You know, I was like, you think so? He was like, yeah, if I beat you, it'd be a good look for me because you got a good name.
Did you slap him?
Nah, that's somebody else. But so I was like, what?
Who he slapped?
I forgot somebody.
You just slapped so many niggas, you forgot who you slapped?
Chill, champ. There's lawsuits out there waiting for me.
Nah, chill.
But Rampage is on like popcorn, July 27th, man. Yeah, it's on.
You back down from nothing. I'm trying to train.
July 27th. January 27th.
Did I say that?
July 27th.
I apologize.
You're going to fight another nigga already in your mind. Ready. Like July 27th.
Ready.
No, but I want to ask you this.
I'm
you
already
said,
ready.
You say, you are, how are you 50? What?
I'm 51,000.
51,000?
Yes.
And you say you want to have how many more fights?
You know what, champ? I'm going to keep it real. I'm just starting to get back in shape. You know what I mean? I just lost like 13 pounds.
Right.
I just feel like I can do it, man. I really feel like I could do it. Why not? I'm not gonna jump out there and do nothing crazy at first. I'm gonna fight myself back into shape.
Right.
I call it the pot tour.
Yeah, you ain't scared, but you ain't stupid.
Professional.
Yeah, exactly.
Once you're a professional, you're always a professional.
That's a fact.
So how is it, like you say, going by getting fights, knowing that I still can fight, I can bring out a crowd, I can sell tickets.
Yeah.
Do somebody have to agree to be like, I'll fight, or you just won't be able to fight?
Nah, I'm basically gonna take my show on the road, you know what I'm saying, and just build up, you know, build back up, fight, stand busy. Mm-hmm. And then when I'm ready for a major step up, I'm just walking somewhere, flip the table over on somebody's press conference, and be like, what?
Right.
Jesus,
and they're gonna
Christ.
Be like, yo, he back.
Damn.
He back. He back with that shit again. Here you go.
But I like when you have fighters, and then when the entourage try to jump in, you be like, yo, champ, this ain't the one you want. You better get him. They like, yo, champ.
That nigga.
All right, we'll get him.
He's like, don't touch me, champ. Don't touch me. Let's go, champ. I'm like, bro, this nigga.
Give me the one I have.
Wow, man.
Oh, man. Y'all the best.
Yo, I'm hype. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed down to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with the Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and share it with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You will not want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details. Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health-Aid Kombucha today.
When was your first time showing up and doing that in your career? Showing up to a press conference or somebody doing like a weigh-in and you showed up the way you are known to show up now. What was the first time?
You made an abrupt entrance.
I had bloomed up in weight. I had got up to like, I was 403 pounds.
Right.
I was honest, I was depressed. I was suffering from major depression. They prescribed me Depakote, Seroquel. They said you bipolar. I was just stressed out, you know what I mean, from life.
Right.
And I got fat. And then a friend of mine was, you know, laughing at me one day, telling me how fat I was. Different people, I was like, you know what, I'm gonna get my shit together. So right. I went on a journey, man. I wasn't a cannabis smoker. You know, I grew up with asthma. I unfortunately started drinking since I was like 13, 14 years old. And then when I was 38, a friend of mine was like, yo, you should try this instead of prescription drugs. And I tried cannabis and changed me, man. I mean, the first time I literally took the pills, poured them in the toilet and started training. I hadn't been training in years, started getting in shape. And I started saying, let's go champ, as self-motivation, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I lost 167 pounds, came back to boxing.
That's amazing. That's fucking amazing.
Yeah. I lost 137 pounds, pardon me, and came back to boxing. And I had about four or five fights, and I was telling people, yo, put me in the newspaper, let them know I'm fighting. And they was like, you ain't too old, but right. I was 40.
Right.
I was like, well, I was like 39, 5. I was like, yo, I'm back. And I see it wasn't getting me nowhere. So I was like, you know what, I gotta get disrespectful. That's the only way, you know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes some people only respect violence, you know what I mean? Unfortunately, you know what I'm saying? Right. And the people love violence, you know what I mean? Unfortunately,
right.
You know, we humans. So, and I was pissed off, to be honest with you, Chance.
It's a great market. Yeah,
but it wasn't even the market. I'm gonna keep it real with you. It was just, I was mad, because I was like, yo, I'm doing my thing, and let me live, let me eat, let me show me, let me pop my shit off. And it was like, nah, you know, it wasn't. But I've been blackballed in the game 3 times already. And I call it eras, like the HBO era. Mm-hmm. I've been blackballed for like quite a few times, you know what I'm saying? Where it was like, you're never gonna get a fight on TV again.
Or,
yeah, yeah, huh? Cause I be talking my shit and also too, you know, I never really, you know, like I told you earlier, I've been working since I was 8 years old.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I always had a boss, you know what I mean? That paid me on Fridays or whatever. And he'd try to jerk me too, you know what I mean? So when I got into the boxing game, you know what I'm saying? It was even worse than that, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I literally, millions of dollars that I've been stolen from me, millions and millions and millions of dollars. I can't even go into it, but millions, I could go into it, but y'all be sitting here listening all day. But.
Shit, we dug it, we love this shit. Like, we be like, what?
But this boxing shit crazy. So, you know, but on the business wise, you know, I've always been hustling, putting plays together, and I always had to, you know, be on top of my game. So doing that, they didn't like that. The establishment ain't like me, you know, talking back or basically saying like, yo, that ain't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you know, the paperwork ain't right, champ. Or why am I doing this? Why this? And you know, I'm talking back. Or I'm, you know what I'm saying? I'm asking questions that should be asked. I'm asking questions that should be asked as a person that's going in there doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people say, yo, take this fight. And I'd be like, nah, I ain't taking that fight. That ain't the right fight for me. And, you know, it was like, all right, cool, watch this. And they make that call and try to blackball me. But the good news was the internet came out.
Mm-hmm.
So when the internet came out, I was able to move without them. Now, mm-hmm. people, the fans is my people, you know what I'm saying? That's why I call it the Let's Go Champ Army.
Mm-hmm.
Because they give me the ability to still be seen, and the promoters is watching that, you know, the networks is watching it. Now we don't have to depend on the network so much, you know, mm-hmm. because of streaming platforms. Look at y'all, man, come on. Y'all, shout out to y'all.
Come on,
y'all. Champ. Let's go, champ, you know what I mean?
Champ.
Studio, beautiful, big, crazy studio, you know what I'm saying? Different rooms, y'all inspiring me and showing me. I was an older brother, look at my young black brothers, man, what y'all doing? This is Live at 5, man.
Yes, hey, let me get your gym, I wanna sponsor some equipment.
Word, that's crazy, man. For real, yeah. We doing a movie, man. Shout out to Michael Rappaport, to Adriel Playhouse Productions, and shout out to Amazon. We just picked up a deal. We're doing an 8-series show called Brownsville on Amazon.
Oh, that's
yeah,
dope.
Yeah, 8-series, right.
That's what's up. Well, see, you since you dropping the promo, what's
wrong?
Tell me about the book. You dropped the date?
Let's go, champ. The book dropped today. You know what I'm saying? I just got the book before I got on the plane today. And Fortunate I was here with you brothers, and a long time coming. I'm here with y'all, and I dropped my book today, just got it today. And it's the stories, man, growing up, you know what I mean? Since I was a kid, like I said, hustling, working jobs all my life, and then getting into boxing, which is a business as well. Mm-hmm. So I've always been in a business of making money. I've always been in a business of surviving, finding a way, you know what I'm saying? And literally making it a point not to go to jail, you know what I mean? Because I used to go visit my pops in jail a lot. You know, all upstate New York, every prison, Rikers, every state I've been there, Clinton, Sing Sing, all that. So growing up as a kid, going on those buses and all that, well, so I said, this is something that I want to stop, you know what I mean? So I think in building this Brownsville Boxing Academy, we'll have an opportunity to save lives, man. Because think about this, you got three heavyweight champions from Brownsville, Brooklyn. Brownsville, Brooklyn is not 2 miles in size. It's under 2 miles, it's 1.8 miles. With 200,000 people living in 1.8 miles.
God,
damn. Yeah.
200,000 people in how many miles?
1.8 miles.
Damn.
Damn.
Yeah, 200,000 people.
I want to ask you this. Like, you've had a long career. Who are some of the boxers that you consider your friends that you fought?
That I fought?
Yeah.
Lennox Lewis is cool. Yeah, Lennox is a cool brother. Real talk. He a good brother. Mike, I never fought Mike. Mike is the best. He's the best.
Yes, sir.
Yes, he's the best ever. Funniest shit. We laugh. I'm cool with everybody, champ, except Rampage. Nah, I'm going to knock you out. But nah, Rampage, he cool, but I'm going to knock you out. But I'm cool with everybody. I'm trying to think, who did I fight that I'm cool with? I fought Ray Mercer, man. I love Ray Mercer, man. Ray Mercer is a G. He's one of the toughest men on the planet to ever live. You know, real talk, he's a soldier. Shout out to Ray Mercer. I fought him, it was a tough fight. He had a hell of a jab, man. I couldn't stop it. No matter what I did, I would look at it. I said, you ain't gonna hit me with this one. Ain't no way. I'm looking at his fist. There's no way this one gonna hit me. I'm like, God, it's just the timing was crazy, you know what I mean? It was crazy. So Ray Mercer was one of the great fighters in history, and I can say I'm happy to say I fought him.
Who's some of your young guys, my man?
Go ahead.
Of your young fighters that you like watching or you enjoy today? Seeing them come up today?
Oh, man, they all get busy, all of them. Shakira, Terrence Crawford, all of them getting busy, boy. It's a good time to be alive and see the young boys get busy. They don't fight enough for me, but you got Devin Haney, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, Lomachenko. You know, you got that young boy Anderson coming out. Shout out to Big Baby Miller. You got Big Baby Anderson. You got, you got a lot of fighters, man. They coming up, man. But you know, my next, besides, you know, a couple more fights, just for fun, to be honest with you. Like, I'm doing this exhibition with Rampage. I'm going to have a few fights just for fun. Shout out to Roy Jones and Antonio Tarver. I just spoke to them yesterday. Let's go, champ. You know, I'm just doing it for fun, but the next stage of my life is to be like Don King. You know, his hair grew up, mine's grew down like this. So I'm going to try to do some promotion, you know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. You know, do some promoting fighters and shit like that.
Although, I had a question for you.
Sure.
What's the best fight you've ever seen that you weren't in?
I went to see, Closed Circuit, Sugar Ray Leonard and Marvin Hagler.
Woo! That shit was cold.
That shit was cold.
I know that shit was cold.
Closed Circuit. I was a kid. I went to see that shit. That was electrifying, man. To see Ray come back after you're against the Hagler, you know, one of the marvelous ones.
Right.
That shit was right.
That was, the main strategy they used.
10 seconds!
You ever see that? You see that?
That's how he won the fight. That's one of the best strategies in boxing history
that
right there.
That was a cold fight right there.
Now, my personal favorite fight that I ever seen was Arturo Gatti and Mickey Ward, the first one.
Yeah.
The first War Gotti, like that was that. I remember watching it on the HBO. I think it came on the Friday night fights, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. And them niggas, they fought from round one to 12 and beat the dog shit out of each other.
Rest in peace, Arturo. Shout out to my boy Mickey. That's my boy Mickey.
Oh, bro, you know Mickey, man.
That's my brother. I love Mickey. Shout out to Mickey Ward.
That's what's up,
real
man.
Brother, real good guy.
So who?
He just light skinned.
I gotta ask, like, I know this is one of them cliche questions, but I gotta know, like, who your top five fighters of all time?
Mm-hmm. That's what. First and foremost, Jack Johnson.
The greatest. Greatest nigga. Niggas don't know about that boy Jack Johnson. Yeah. He had the hardest path.
The hardest path. That's exactly what I was gonna say. Mm-hmm. Because of his path. Let alone there was other black fighters better than him at the time, from what they say.
Really?
Yeah, a lot. That's a lot. Quite a few. But I don't think they didn't have what he had. No, he had losses. He had losses. He had fought quite a few brothers that had, you know, gave it to him. But he came back and beat him. He wasn't undefeated or nothing like that. But it wasn't a big thing not to be undefeated back then. But he was walking the walk in front of them boys like, this is what? Like, you know what I mean? He had them Shook Daddy. They was like, he had that pistol. He was gold teeth. He was a gangster.
White women.
Three of them. Yeah, he was gangster. So, you know, but, you know, he was a different type of, you know, brother. Then you could talk about, you know, people don't talk about him enough, but Henry Armstrong. Mm-hmm. And I say him. Oh, no. Hurricane Hank. See, that's the problem, that if there was ever a movie that should be made about a fighter, it should be about Henry Armstrong. Yeah, please do look him up, everybody, because he was the greatest fighter of all times. Better than Jack. Jack just carried he carried us on his back, because every time Jack Johnson fought, they would go on killing sprees and lynch hundreds of blacks. They would say one or two, but hundreds of blacks would be lynched. So you knew when Jack Johnson fought, black people was gonna die. It was gonna be some killers.
Yeah, that's a good day?
No.
That's fucking terrible.
But think about this. And I said that too, right? But think of how many people was happy that they couldn't believe there was a black heavyweight champion. They never had nothing to look at. And they never had no baseball players to look at. They had no president. They didn't have no people in government. But they had something. And that's what black people all around the world need to understand. Boxing, the sport of boxing, one man changed the earth, Jack Johnson. Black people was killed when he fought. But think how many were smiling, because he was beating them. And they couldn't imagine in a billion years that a black man could be heavyweight champion. So crazy that for 40 years after him, they would not let a black man fight for the title.
What?
For 40 years until Joe Louis came around. Until they let Joe Louis fight for the title. So that's how powerful of a man that Jack Johnson was. That he was such a figure. Yeah, I don't know. I said the same thing. Damn, people died. It's a bad day. But then I started scratching my head and said, damn, but think how many people was in power saying, yo, we could be something one day. Just like when I was saying Mike Tyson was in the 80s. Everybody wanted to be a boxer. That's why you see the 90s. Now this is deep. The 90s is really the golden era of boxing in the history of boxing. The 1990s. You had more men and young men around the world who wanted to be boxers coming out of the 80s because of Mike Tyson. So you had so many names I can't begin to name. Chris Bird, Haseem Rockman, John Ruiz, David Tua.
Riddick Bowe.
I've read the Holyfield, but he was from the 80s. But you just had so many people that wanted to be boxers because of Mike, and then Holyfield, and that money was in boxing, boy. $20 million fights. You could be a bum, get a Mike Tyson fight, and get knocked out and get $10 million. People was jumping in there. I'm next. Yeah. I'm next. You know what I'm saying? They was trying to jump in there.
You think Floyd Mayweather was like that? Did it like that?
In regards to what?
Meaning like, he could
Shout
fight bums.
Money Mary, we spoke the other day on the phone.
Yeah, he fought some bums and they was getting the biggest paychecks of their lives.
Yeah. So. Well, I don't know who he fought to be, but he had some tough fights. He fought everybody they put in front of him. He fought Toro Gotti, who you see.
He beat the dog shit out of Toro.
Did him dirty.
Gotti.
Everybody he put in front of him, the champ, did him dirty.
Oh,
he
beat
dirty.
The shit out of Toro Gotti. My uncle told me some cold shit. He was like, it's two things you never do. You never spit in the wind, because that shit gonna blow right back in your face, and you never bet against Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, yeah. Champ get busy.
Oh, yeah, all the way.
Yeah. Like, Shout out to the champ.
But and the thing is, like, it's... What was the most, I tell you mine first so you get the reverence of the question. You know what I mean? As a boxing fan, that's my favorite sport. I love boxing. But.
Ain't no more water.
When. Like watching as a fan, to me, when Roy lost when I was a young nigga, that shit shocked me.
Yeah.
It shocked me.
I remember watching that shit and then, like, this ain't even real.
I couldn't believe it was real. You was second, you was there?
Second row, I was there. Yeah, I
was there. Man, that shit, I remember sitting like, what the fuck? Roy lost.
Because there was some shit we never seen.
We never even seen him get
hurt.
I remember when he got that disqualification and came back and knocked the nigga out first round. But was there anybody that, you know,
that you were a fan of throughout the time that you, you know, that took a loss that you didn't think was capable of losing that shocked you?
Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Mike Tyson, man. When Mike lost to Buster Douglas, bro, we was in, like, shock. Who would have ever thought, you know what I mean?
That shit shocked the world.
Shocked the world.
That shit hurt me.
Mike Tyson, bro.
I was like, hey, yeah, I was like, man, y'all niggas tripping, man.
Yeah.
You know what he gonna do when he get up?
Sheesh.
Bro, you wasn't born yet.
Nigga, I seen it.
That's a bad man. That was a bad man.
Yeah, because nobody ever thought he was going to lose.
And I think he really won that fight. If you really go back and watch it, he really dropped him, but he just
That first knockdown, he was down like 12 seconds.
Like something like 17 seconds. He was talking about this because they didn't count.
Yeah.
And then, like, and when you watch the replay, you see them at the weigh-in count, one, two, and they got, like, 19, so.
Yeah, it was a long count, but, you know, that's how boxing is, man, you know. That's how it is, champ. You know what I mean? That's how it is.
You ever been robbed?
I've been robbed before, yeah.
Not robbed, like, in Brownsville type robbed. I'm talking about robbed in the ring.
What Jay-Z said? In the ring, I've been robbed by managers and promoters worse.
Yeah, I know, but we don't get into that.
Okay.
But I'm talking about in the ring.
I thought I got robbed in the fight. Yeah, I felt I got robbed. Yeah, I won the fight, but the system was against me at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, the administration at the time that was on the helm, they was against me, and they took a fight from me that I thought it could have been a draw. You know what I mean? But I just jumped out the bed, took the fight. I'm gonna knock him out and. Dude, I didn't know he had been in training camp with Klitschko. Mm-hmm. So he was used to getting punched, you know, beat up. So first round, I came out, cracked him up. He out of here.
Gotta ask you about, you know, the biggest scandal in recent years with the Cotto fight.
With the gloves.
Yeah, what was your take from that? You remember the first fight, that shit was...
That shit was brutal, but the
redemption fight is one of my top five fights of all time.
That was crazy. That was it. Shout out to Miguel Cotto, good brother.
Manuel Marquez.
Yeah.
What happened?
Oh, they put the plaster on Margarito.
That's what it was.
It was plaster or they put it to
the... Nah, it was the member, he wrapped his hands with the plaster and then he had that little piece of metal plate inside the hand wrap.
Fucked him up, man.
When you see Miguel Cotto that first fight, bro, it looked like somebody was hitting him with a bat.
Yeah.
It was crazy. And then he ended up fighting. They ended up finding out about it and caught it before he fought Shane Mosley.
Wow.
They caught it right before he fought Shane Mosley and they didn't call the fight off. No, he was great. Do that shit to Shane Mosley. And they caught him.
The same dude.
And then Shane Mosley came out and beat the dog shit out.
Trainer caught it.
Yeah, his trainer caught it right before the fight.
And they made him change his glove.
Yeah, they made him unwrap his hands and
it's
the gauze. It's not gauze, man.
That shit is hard. You feel this shit?
Yeah,
they had some plasters and shit, I heard.
Yeah,
that's crazy. Does that happen more often than in boxing that you don't hear about?
I felt like it happened to me in a fight with somebody. I was like, ain't no way in the world that that's his fist, you know. And they was kind of known for that, but I knew because every punch he hit me with, I was like, God. How could that be, you know what I mean? But I was sparring this African dude one time, and he was hitting me so hard, bro. I swear to God, I was like, yo, it's something in his gloves. I came back to my corner. I said, yo, something in his gloves. My trainer was like, nah, just go out there. I went back out there. He hit me again. Boom. He was
bombing on you.
Man, I had knots. I came to go out there. There's something in his gloves, man.
Damn.
He went and took off the man's gloves. He ain't had nothing in there, man.
Damn.
That man was hitting hard. Yeah.
And then,
I couldn't believe it, yo. But, and then after we sparred, he went out and started hitting the bag, and he knocked the bag down.
Damn.
That's my word. He knocked the bag down. I'll never forget. Because I was still in the ring thinking about that ass whooping he just gave me, and I was like, damn, I was young. I was 21 years old.
So think about it, like, with shit like that, like, if the world could have got to see him, who is? So the sparring be some of the greatest fights versus the one that people see.
Broski,
what if somebody would have seen this motherfucker?
Broski, I'm telling you, I had some dudes that I've been in the ring with that I say was cold, and then definitely colder than the champions. Man, I sparred some dudes that was hell of a dudes, man. Maurice Harris, everybody know Maurice Harris. Most people in boxing, one of the best sparring I ever had. I ain't hit him yet. That was 19. I ain't hit him yet. He was cold, was smart. Some dudes could fight in that gym. Some dudes are gym fighters, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But then sometimes you put him in front of the lights come on, bro. They say, man, I can't do it, man. I seen dudes leave and from the dressing room. They say, what happened? He said he couldn't do it.
The
man.
Nerves.
So yeah, what's the nerves. Difference between gym fighters and the light fighters?
So I don't know, man. I knew a dude, bro, that's my word. He was so cold. I don't want to blow his name up, but yo, son, he was so nice. And in the gym, nobody could see him. I'm talking about he was a middleweight, but the heavyweights was like, nah, please, nah. Coach would make us go in there with him. He was nasty. But when it was fight time and the bell ring, his legs wouldn't work. He just would crumble and jump on the ground. We couldn't believe it because he was a fly dude. He was, you know what I'm saying? He had everything in the making to be a world champion. And he just could not get in front of those lights, man. Some people ain't got it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like that in comedy.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard.
Yeah, give and take.
Yeah, we ain't getting hit by no Africans. It ain't like that in comedy. It ain't not your shit.
I got beaten by two hyenas.
Oh man, for sure, what? Man.
Nah, we appreciate you, OG. You know what time it is.
Thank you,
man.
Thank you,
man. Where's the book available?
Oh man, the book is available at champ.business.
Yeah.
That's it, champ.business. No .com, none of that. Champ.business. Learn how the champ made it, man. All the secrets to, you know, success in my life and overcoming and doing the best I can to be the best I can, man. Champ.business. And if you go to the website right now, you can download it for free. And if you win, if I mail it to you, I'm putting $1,000 in 5 books. I'm going to send them to you. Whoever gets the $1,000, you get the priceless information, and you get $1,000. 5 books with $1,000 in it.
Facts.
Let's go, champ.
Let's go, champ.
Let's go, champ.
Let's go,
champ. Look at him, y'all.
27th. Let's go, champ. Hollywood Casino in Florida. Let's go, champ. Woo!
In
let's go, champ.
I'm in. I promise, man.
I swear to God, I got y'all locked.
Send them up.
I got y'all. Y'all straight.
You crazy? You won all 5 books.
Ooh, nah, that African gonna win all 5 books. He just say this.
Give me my money.
It's your first time coming to the 85 South Show.
Yes,
but if you ever want to stop through here and tell us 1,000 boxing stories,
oh, man.
You know you're
more than welcome. I want to do that sports show, man. Where it's born, I want to do that sports show.
I got to do that show, man.
I can't wait.
No
most definitely. We're not ending this show until you throw me the Sharpie. We got all the legends who stopped through here. They signed the table.
Oh, word?
And until we get our signed pair of gloves for the studio,
we're
going to just, we'll accept it on the table.
Look at them, y'all.
85 South Show, Shannon and Gannon, we out of here.
Let's go, champ.
Let's go, champ.
Let's go, champ. Let's go, champ. Shout out to my son.
Champ,
I love you.
Let's get a pitch.
Let's do it.
Smooth, don't. Oh,
come on, man, like a chimney. Oh, man, I love you, boy. Thank you, champ. Okay, what's this?
Yeah, that's my own niece.
Yeah?
Yes, sir.
Corn like popcorn. Come on,
my book, son.
Where the camera at? Let me get a camera with the leaf.
What you doing?
Let me promote the leaf.
Well, I'm going to take them. Get it, son.
You going to get that mouth, huh?
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everyone. It's our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast festival for more details.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.